Well, this is Rob Randall, and we're so deeply grateful that you have taken your time to tune in today. Thank you for the privilege of allowing us to come into your lives. I want to lead us in prayer that the Lord would come and take this teaching and accomplish His will in all of our lives. Lord, we thank you today for the sweet privilege that is ours to trust you with all that we are and all that we have. We thank you that you are able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we could ask or think. And Lord, we ask that you would take your word and that the Holy Spirit of God would be our teacher. And that through this truth, you would bring us into the freedom of the Lord Jesus Christ. Help us understand today what it is to walk in you. Thank you for your faithfulness. We pray in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. And now let's get right to the message for today in the invisible war.
As we look again to the concept given to us in Ephesians, we begin to understand the basis of the invisible war. In Ephesians 4, 26 and 27, it says, "Do not let the sun go down on your anger. Be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger, for you will give the devil a place or an opportunity to work." The word here is topos. We get the word typography from it. We've talked about it several times during the study. But what is this typography? Are these toposes? It literally means the ground or the place given to the devil for him to rule. Don't give the devil a place to rule. Don't give him an opportunity to stand. Don't give him the territory, any territory that belongs only to the one true God who created all territory for his rule. All right? Through disobedience and unbelief, we give the enemy a place to work in our lives. Since all things have been created for the rule and dominion of God alone, not trusting the Lord, not believing His word, is to give that area of unbelief over to the devil. And let me tell you something, folks, he'll gladly take it. He'll gladly take it. We see this echoed in Paul's letter to the Corinthian church. "For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh, but divinely powerful for the pulling down of strongholds," or the destruction of fortresses. "We're destroying speculations and every lofty thing raised up against the knowledge of God, and we are taking every thought captive to the obedience of Christ." 2 Corinthians 10, 3-5. King James Version calls these fortresses strongholds. What are these strongholds we are to pull down, church? What are these fortresses that we are to destroy, that we are to allow the Spirit of God to use us to pull down? They are the toposes. They are the places given over to the devil through sin and unbelief. Well, there's much we can say. Let me simply say, why is this so serious? When you and I decide not to believe what God says, we are allowing the enemy to build a stronghold, a place to rule in our lives. Why is this so serious? Because the devil doesn't have any right to rule anything. He doesn't have a right to rule in your family. He doesn't have a right to rule in that child's life. He doesn't have a right to rule in God's church. And yet, through our sin and unbelief, we give him that authority and that right. It's an amazing thing. No one does. No one has a right to rule unless God ordains it for His holy purposes and for the glory of God alone. Satan wants to rule any ground, any area, any attitude, any habit, any bitterness. Satan wants to control any business, any family, any life. Satan wants to control any school, any class, any student. Satan wants to control any city, any town, any community. Satan wants to control any denomination, any association or mission, any church. Satan wants to control. To do so, he must steal it from the one true Lord, the Lord Jesus Christ. He does so by getting us to join his rebellion against God through our unbelief. At the moment man refuses to believe what God has said is true, he gives the devil the unlawful right to rule and control these areas. Let's look at the purpose of Christ. Why did Jesus come? Why did Jesus come? Why was Jesus born of a virgin? Why did he go to all the trouble to live a sinless life, 33 years, to be nailed to that old Roman cross? Why? Why did he come? Three reasons in the Bible why Jesus came. Number one, for the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which is lost. Amen? As an evangelist, I love that verse. The church is not seeking to save that which is lost. They've missed it. That's why Jesus came. He came to seek and to save that which is lost. And that was you and me. Thank God for his mighty salvation. All men without Christ are lost according to the Word of God. They are lost as a lost sheep without a shepherd. They are lost as a lost coin to a laborer. They are lost as a lost son to a broken-hearted parent. Luke 15. Jesus came that all mankind that is lost would be found and given back to the rightful owner, our Heavenly Father. Number two, I've come that you might have life, he said, and have it more abundantly. The Bible says, he who has the Son has life, and he who has not the Son has not life. Now, this gift of salvation has two aspects. In John 3, it teaches we have eternal life and everlasting life. Everlasting life is life that lasts forever. Though we die in him, we shall continue to live. We will never die. Isn't that good? But what's eternal life? That's God's life in us now. His peace, his joy, his power. It is God in us. It is Christ in you, the hope of glory. It is the fruit of the Spirit of God. That's eternal life. One is qualitative and one is quantitative. One is longevity and one is quality now. It is all offered to us in him. But number three, Jesus came. This is one we don't know about very much. In 1 John 3:8, Jesus came to seek and to save that which is lost. Jesus said, I've come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. And in 1 John 3:8, the Son of Man appeared for this purpose, that he might destroy the works of the devil. That's why Jesus came. He came, then the word here is redeem. He came through the purchase of his own blood to buy back everything that the devil has stolen from the one true God who created it for his glory. That's why Jesus came. He came to buy back, to pay the penalty, to pay the price, that that child can be free, that that marriage can be free, that the church that belongs to the Lord Jesus can be free in the Lord Jesus, and everything that the enemy has stolen, Jesus came to give it back to the Father. That's why Jesus came. My, we see this same thing echoed in Luke chapter 4, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, Jesus said, because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim release to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set free those who are downtrodden, to proclaim the favorable year of the Lord. When someone comes to me and says, Rob, this is a charismatic teaching, I say, you need to read 1 John 3:8. You don't even know why Jesus came. He came to destroy the works of the devil. That's why he came, church. He didn't come just to make you happy. Why did Jesus come? To make us holy. You remember? He didn't come just to make us happy. He came to make us holy. Amen and amen. Well, why all of this? Why did he allow himself the death of a common criminal to bear our shame? Jesus received in his body the payment of all sin for all time. Why? Why was he willing to do it? Don't miss it. Here it is. Satan came to steal the work of the Lord from you. He came to steal you from the Father who created you for his glory. He came to steal anything or anyone from its rightful creator and owner, the one true Lord over all creation. God sent his Son into the world to redeem, to buy back through the purchase price of his blood all that the devil has stolen from God. That's why Jesus came. He came to destroy the works of the devil. Now let's look at the position of Christ. After having lived a perfect life, Jesus died for our sins. 3 days later, after Jesus was buried, in a barred tomb. He was raised from the dead. After he rose from the dead, he was on this earth 40 days and 40 nights. He ate with his disciples. He taught them. Then here they are on the Mount of Olives. While they behold, while they're talking to him, he's giving them the last marching orders. He's telling them what to do and how to do it. I've got to go away. There's another one coming. He's sharing with them what is happening and what they're going to do after he's gone. And then all of a sudden, a cloud comes and receives the Lord Jesus out of their sight. Whoop! He's gone. There are two men in white apparel. These are not angels. If it were angels, it would say angels. They're men. I believe it's Moses and Elijah. Moses represents those who have died in the Lord. Elijah represents those who are alive until the coming of the Lord. If you want to do a wonderful Bible study, study the relationship between Moses and Elijah all the way through the Bible. It's a wonderful Bible study. But I think this is what this is at this time. And they said, "You men of Galilee, why stand you gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you, shall so come in like manner as you have seen him go into heaven." All right? Now, where did he go? Where did Jesus go when he disappeared into the clouds? We know he's coming back and standing on that same mountain. His feet will stand in the same footprints where they were when he left. That's Zechariah 14:4. All right? But let me just simply say to you, in the meantime, where did Jesus go? Where did he go? We find this. Where did he disappear to? Here we see it in Ephesians 1. Turn with Ephesians 1 and Ephesians 2. What is the surpassing greatness of his power toward us who believe? These are in accordance with the working of the strength of his might, which he brought about in Christ when he raised him from the dead. Here it is. And seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places, far above all rule, all authority, and power, here's the word again, and dominion. He's above everyone who claims to rule anything. He is above all of it, all right? And every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in the one to come. Jesus right now is at the right hand of God the Father, the place of total absolute authority. Jesus rules over all. All other names are under his rule. All power is under his power. All things are under the lordship of Christ. Jesus is Lord. Amen. And amen. Jesus is Lord. Listen, the Bible makes it very plain in Philippians 2, 9 through 11, familiar passage. Therefore also God highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow of those who are in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. And he is the radiance of his glory and the exact representation of his nature, and upholds all things by the word of his power. When he had made purification of sins, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high, having become as much better than the angels. Do you get that? That means the good ones and the bad ones. He's much better than the angels and has inherited a more excellent name than any angel. Any demon, any good angel, any bad angel, all right? Hebrews 1, 3 through 4. Do you see it? Jesus is master of all. His rule is above all rule and authority. The Bible exclaims that there is one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. If I'd have written that sentence in English, I'd have flunked, right? Ephesians 4, 5 through 6. All others who claim to be Lord, listen to me, are imposters. They are squatters. They are liars. They are deceivers. All other so-called lords are gods, are liars. The Bible says, folks, listen carefully. The Bible makes it very, very plain in Leviticus 17:7, Deuteronomy 32:17, Psalm 106:37, and 1 Corinthians 10, 20 through 21, they are called no gods. And those who claim to be God are demons. There is one God over all. There is one Lord, not two, not three, not four. Jesus is not a religion. He is Lord of all. He created all things for His glory. Amen. Now, the Bible tells us, Revelation 19, 15 and 16, and on His robe and on His thigh, He has a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. All authority is His. Jesus said, all authority has been given to me, both in heaven and in earth. Jesus is Lord of all. Matthew 28, 18. Now let's look at the position of the believer. What does this mean to you and me? Ephesians 2, 4 through 6. But God, being rich in mercy because of His great love with which He loved us, even when we were dead in our transgressions, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved and raised us up with Him. Get this now. We have been raised up with Christ. Where is Christ? At the right hand of God the Father in the place of authority, and seated us with Him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Think of that. In our union with Christ, we now have a place of authority at the right hand of God the Father. Think of that. That's why Jesus taught, I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Matthew 16, 19. Again, I say to you that if two of you agree on earth about anything that they may ask, it shall be done for them by my Father who is in heaven. For where two or three have gathered in my name, there I am in their midst. Matthew 18, 19 through 21. Did Jesus really mean that? Did He really mean that we have been given the authority and the right and the keys to bind things on this earth and to loose things? Is that a charismatic teaching or is this a Jesus teaching? I want you to see something here. You, listen to me, you church don't have any right to do any of this. But in Christ, in our union with Him, He has called us to do it. It is in Him that we have this place of authority. My, my, my. And if you don't understand that, you need to get up and leave now. Because you don't want to go into the next weeks of this study where we begin to talk about the engaging of the enemy. If you don't understand that it is in the authority of Christ that we do these matters and only in His power, only in His authority. My, my, my. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. He taught us to pray, Matthew 6:10. The understanding we have of the supernatural and of the invisible world comes from Christ. The power to cast out demons is only in Jesus. In the book of Acts, we find an amazing story. There are those who learned that the name of the Lord Jesus had power over demons. They were exorcists, and they cast out demons anyway, but they noticed that this name of the Lord Jesus had greater power than they had ever seen. And so they were casting out demons, but they weren't saved. That's an interesting issue, isn't it? That's right. In fact, in the judgment, you remember folks are going to come to the Lord and says, we've cast out demons in Your name. Depart from me, I never knew you. I want to say this, and I want everybody to hear this. You can be spiritual and never know Christ. You can be a spiritual person and never be saved. There are a lot of people who have supernatural abilities. They see things. They're able to heal people of their warts. Okay? All kinds of healing powers and all that do not know the Savior. I want you to see that. All right? We'll come to the understanding of what it is to test the Spirit so we'll know who is and who isn't. All right? There's a way of doing that and we'll get into that. But here, the sons of Sceva, they went out and they were casting demons out, and all of a sudden, they got a hold of a big boy. They got a hold of a big old ugly one. They're all ugly, but this one was real bad. He said, wait a minute. Jesus we know, and Paul we know, but who are you? And they whooped them. They literally beat them up, bludgeoned them. They ended up naked and bloody. Yeah, it was a big mess. All right, they got whooped. So again, the protection against demons is only through the blood covenant of the Lord Jesus. It is at Calvary they have been defeated. It is through the blood of the Lord Jesus that Satan's demons are exposed and expelled. It must be noted that only Christ's power is sufficient in dealing in the invisible war. Only Jesus has won the victory over sin and death. Our faith is in Him. Our victory is in Him. Our union in the heavens is only through the Lord Jesus. The believer's authority is a delegated authority. In Luke 10, Jesus gives total authority over all dimensions of supernatural world to His disciples. And that was not just them. That is us as well. We have been given this authority, but what must be noted, it is His authority. It is His authority. We are in Christ, and in Christ we are at the right hand of God the Father in the place of authority over all names, over all rulers, over all dominions, over all powers. But it is only in the Lord Jesus. Any believer trusting in Christ's power will do. As we trust God for His work in and through our lives, God's will is accomplished. It is in our union with Christ that the captives are set free. Whatever you ask in My name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask anything in My name, I will do it. John 14:13-14. Now unto Him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works within us, to Him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus to all generations. Amen and amen. What an awesome God we serve. We don't serve one of the gods. We serve the One who is overall. And His power, His right to rule, listen to me, has been delegated to each of us. What an amazing responsibility is ours. But it is only in our union with Christ that we dare enter into these matters. Because it is only His power that sets the captives free.
Thank you, Rob, and we'll look forward to hearing more next time as we continue in this series on The Invisible War. The Invisible War is more than just a weekly radio program. It is a lifetime commitment to helping you become a man or woman who experiences a life of freedom and fulfillment. This only happens as you completely turn your life over to God through Jesus Christ and trust in Him to completely work in your life. There has obviously been a lot of ground that was covered today, and you may not have been able to catch everything, or you just want to hear it again. Well, we have many different options for you so you can get these valuable resources. Go to theinvisiblewar.org, and from there you'll be able to find all the books on this topic. Hear today's broadcast again. Sign up to receive a weekly podcast, a place to share your prayer request, and a ton more. So go to theinvisiblewar.org, and from there you'll find everything you need to help you on this journey. We also have a toll-free number where you can call us so we can talk to you, pray for you, and encourage you. The number is 1-877-808-8886. That's 1-877-808-8886. And now, here's Rob with some closing words for us today.
Kevin, my father always said, trust the Lord, but tell the people. And so I have learned well in evangelistic work. It is a work of faith. We are on the air because we believe God wanted us to do this, to help folks know how they can be set free. So I would ask our listeners today, would you give as generous a gift as you possibly can? Daddy also used to say, if you don't tell the folks you need money, son, they'll assume you won't need it. So I want you to know this is an expensive venture, and we want to expand the program into other markets. Would you come alongside of us? We are on the air because of faithful partners like you. Help us bring this message of hope and healing to the many wounded and hurting. Visit our new website, theinvisiblewar.org. That's theinvisiblewar.org. The phone number, you can call us toll-free, 1-877-808-8886. I want to remind you that each program you can listen on your computer. Just go to our website, and all of that information is there for you. Please let us know how we can serve you. God bless you today, and thank you for listening to The Invisible War.